And today I'm here to talk to you about Razer Tag Helpers, something that has consumed a great portion of my last 2 years here at Microsoft, and something I feel very passionate about. So most of the talk today is actually going to be code, hands-on code. I like to just kind of learn as we go. It's one of the things I feel like is really impactful. So we're going to hop over to Visual Studio, and we're going to be doing the file new project that everyone has been using today. So just file new project, scroll down, do web application. So this is what I'll be using. I've modified it slightly just so I can show off a few extra bits and so we don't have to wait for any restores to happen. And the first question is, what is Tag Helpers? My goal here for this talk is to show you what inspired Tag Helpers, why they're useful, and how you can use them to make your lives easier. So let's just look at the default web app just from a running perspective. So we have home, about, contact, register, login. What we're used to, nothing out of the ordinary. But one thing that really stands out is a difference from MVC 6 to MVC 5 project templates is actually this login page. This is a really big difference, and even the layout that drives it. So let's look at what this used to look like. I've created a login old here. So we used to have HTML helpers, and they were awesome. They were the bread and butter of MVC 5. They made everything a lot smoother. You could do really complex logic with very little code, but they also had their share of problems. We basically tried to use C# to render HTML. Now that's great because you can do everything C# could do, a lot of complex things. But you run into really odd scenarios where you're using an @using statement to render a form tag. Not the best. And then even a little uglier, a little is being kind, but @class, a reserved keyword. And this is all due to we needed to have some sort of C# mechanic to render HTML tags. So this is kind of what we had to do. This is a given, right? No big deal. So this was everything in MVC 5. The new project template, as you've probably seen a lot of purple text. So if I actually go to this login, we're going to see, hey Mads, got some tooling issues here, man. All right, let's reopen that login page.
A Taylor issue,
most likely. There we go. So some purple text, and these are all tag helpers. So instead of that @using HTML.begin form, we now just have a form. Instead of that HTML.validation summary, we have a div tag. And this highlights one of the issues with using C# to render HTML. Over here, we can probably guess this is going to be a form tag. We don't really know what this is going to then output until we run it. So that can make writing CSS or JavaScript a little difficult. And this kind of translates down the line. Like, there's no text box element, but it's an input text element, right? So tag helpers help improve this tremendous amount. And you don't really get the full impact of how they make writing HTML easier until you actually write them side by side. So let's write this label tag helper with its HTML counterpart. So we'll do HTML.label4. And we'll do model.email. And this showcases the very first advantage of tag helpers is we only have email here. I'll go into that in a second. @class, call md-2, control-label. Right? So the HTML helper equivalent. So immediately, it was not the easiest thing to write. I actually did some little hackery to make this simpler, just with a lot of shortcuts. We had to write @class. We don't get any IntelliSense here. It's not as simple as hitting space and getting all that great HTML editor IntelliSense. And you have to write out all this. A tag helper says, I know you want to do something with the model. That's fine. I'm going to pre-fill this for you. So imagine in this label 4, it put you right here. And then you're just writing. So if I actually go over here and I hit and I invoke IntelliSense, I'm exactly right there. Now, this doesn't work for every scenario. If you're, say, in a for loop and you want to iterate over an item, You can override this behavior, and you can do model.email with just an at symbol. There's little pieces to make this nice. But let's actually write out this label to see how it compares from a development perspective, just writing HTML, compared to the label 4. So I'll rewrite this, label ASP4, email, class, call-md-2, control label. I'm getting all of my IntelliSense like I normally would. It's just like writing HTML. So this now begs the question, what is a tag helper? Tag helpers are a way to target HTML elements and run C# code on them. So in this case, we have some piece of C# that's running on this label tag, consuming this ASP-4 attribute, and then outputting essentially what this did. So I'm gonna hop over to the layout page, because I said that the layout page also plays a very significant role in the changes between an MVC5 template and an MVC6 template. And we have some more things here. This is a new guy, environment. So basically we're saying, in the development environment, render this. In the staging or production environment, render this. And I can't just pass over these link tags, like holy crap. Like ASP fallback, we can now fall back to link tags. This is because we're running C# code on the server to then render these tags. I've heard a lot of connection to Angular directives, right? I've been inspired a lot by those. And they definitely have their place on the client side. But for things that make a lot of sense on the server, tag helpers are the way to do it. Like, could you imagine writing this environment tag in JavaScript and HTML? That is just a security hole waiting to happen. So we have more things. We have script tags down here. More usages of these environment tag helper. And there's actually one that's not mentioned here in the layout, which I think is really important and really valuable, which is the cache tag helper. Look at all these attributes. I can vary this by just about anything. And the way we've written this cache tag helper is in a way where you can add or do anything you want with any one of these to have your own implementations. So who remembers here, I think this is last MVP summit, where we had the whole talks about prefixing attributes or names, and when we first showed off tag helpers, we had input for span, validate. There wasn't this ASP-prefix. Does anyone remember that? Okay, a few of you. This prefixing controversy is one of the largest threads on GitHub that we've ever had. People feel very strongly about prefixes. We're not having them. It's half a dozen one way, half a dozen the other. So we've taken the route and said, if we're adding a tag helper to an existing element, such as label or span or div or form, and we have an additive attribute, such as controller, we prefix it. So additive attributes on augmented elements are prefixed. If we're creating something brand new, like environment, no prefix. It's something brand new, it's a new element. There's no need to prefix it. Or even cache, no prefix. For those who say, I don't want to work in Visual Studio, I want to be super explicit, and I want to know where tag helpers could possibly be, we added a new Razor directive, tag helper prefix. So what this does is whatever I place in between these quotes is going to say, you must prefix your HTML elements with this text before it could even be considered to be a tag helper. So th colon, everything unhighlighted. My environment tag is no longer a tag helper. It's just a regular tag that flows to the output. However, the second I write th colon, and if you notice it also added that to the end tag, our HTML editor is freaking awesome. It's now considered a tag helper. So if you want to do this, you can, and that option is available for you. You will probably end up doing something like this if you want to be explicit in your view imports, what Dan showed earlier, which allows you to inherit all of those directives up into the rest of your views. But it's really powerful. It's really, what do you want to use it with? And we have a whole bunch of these tag helpers, and they're all openly available for you to see how we did them. So I can actually jump over to MVC, and we have all the tag helpers here. Feel free to go and look at these for prime examples of what we do to make these pieces possible. Now, for the rest of the talk, I want to basically take examples of what we did. Look at the label tag helper, the environment tag helper, and make equivalents. Not doing the same thing, we'll make them do different things. But take the concepts of what makes an environment tag helper create a new tag that you can use and do something with that. So we're gonna step by this bit by bit. We're gonna create our own tag helpers. And I do want to note, these are just the built-in tag helpers. These are not in by default. You have to do two things. First thing, you need to jump to your project.json, and you need to include the Microsoft.asp.net.mvc.taghelpers, Jesus, that's a mouthful, package. Now, you don't get to use the tag helpers, even if you have the package by default. You have to say a view can use it. So if I go to the view imports, as Dan showed, we have that add tag helper. It's saying, add every tag helper type. This could be replaced with a fully qualified name. In the Microsoft ASP.NET MVC tag helpers assembly. Not namespace, assembly. Something that gets confused a lot. And I do want to note with RC1, you're going to see these quotes be ripped away. They're not gonna be there anymore. Same thing with the tag helper prefix directive. As I go on, I'm going to try and tell you what is going to change. Tag helpers is probably one of the most revving beasts of MVC 6 that we have. Something's always changing. I've given a ton of talks and I find myself always saying, oh, this has changed, and I have a whole laundry list. So I'll try and do that as we go through. All right. So let's start with making a tag helper that adds a new element, a lot like the environment tag helper. Let's look at our login. Actually, better yet, let's look at our manage page. And just to show you what this looks like from the running perspective, I'm gonna log in here. Gonna go to the manage page. Pretty simple. For most websites that aren't just informational based, you're gonna have some sort of login or management system, and you'll see this pattern commonly used. If something, render this template or render this template. Now this isn't enough for a partial. This is a single line of code, right? A partial doesn't make much sense here. And it's even repeated down the line if you want two-factor auth, if two-factor, enable, disable, so forth. This is a very common practice. Let's make this simpler. Let's build a new tag that essentially does this for us. And it's gonna be broken down into three pieces. Top level concerns for tag helper development fall into three pieces. First one, what is the API? So I'll address this as I code. So we're gonna add a new tag helpers folder. This isn't needed. This is just to organize our helpers. Make it nice, tag helpers. And we're gonna create a new tag helper called manage has password tag helper, because that's what this is trying to do. This is trying to say, if you have the password, then render one template, otherwise render another one. So a tag helper is as simple as a C# class. So manage has password tag helper. And it's a C# class that implements the iTag helper interface. So iTag helper. So this then asks, well, what's on iTag helper? We got two things here. There's gonna be a third with RC1. But for now, two things. We have order. I'm not gonna go into this today, what order is. It's probably a next level tag helper concern. And I'll hint at it at the end of the presentation and feel free to talk to me afterwards. But process async is the tag helper's bread and butter. It's essentially, what do you do? Once you've targeted an HTML element, what do you do with it? Most of the time, you're just gonna be implementing the base class that we have for you. It implements these methods and gives you a synchronous version of process. Pretty simple. Okay, so API. Definition of an API is, how can we invoke this? And what do we need to do the right thing? So if I go back over to my login, no, I'm gonna close out all these other files real quickly and reopen this just so I can go back and forth easier. One, we need to be able to somehow highlight it like purple, just like these tags were. So I'm gonna go back to my view imports and I'm gonna add my tag helpers. So I'll do at add tag helper star every tag helper. And I'm gonna say in my current assembly, which is, in this case, tag helper demo. Now there's currently a bug, you're gonna see me doing this a lot in the talk, where I'm gonna close and reopen the file. Anything that impacts IntelliSense or design time experience, you currently need to close and reopen the file. So you'll see me doing that a lot. We should fix that for, I believe, RC2. Okay, so I'm gonna reopen this. So this time when I type manage, well, it's there. It's a little different than what we expected, but it's there. This is the convention for tag helpers. When we see a tag helper named something like manage has password tag helper, we rip off the end. If it ends in tag helper, we get it, it's a tag helper, fine, we remove it. Next, if it's Pascal cased, we lowercase it, and anywhere that there was a capital letter on the insides of the name, in this case H and P, we put a dash in between it and its previous letter. It does a little extra things for capital letters next to each other, but that is the gist of it. And this is called lower kebab casing. I had to look everywhere for that name. It's pretty ridiculous, but lower kebab casing. Okay, so we're now saying we want to do something. Here's our manage has password tag helper, but we don't have enough information to fulfill the whole API of our tag helper. We need to know if we have the password. If we have the password, then use this action and use this link content. So we needed a way to do this. Well, anchor tag is using this via ASP-controller, an attribute. We should probably do the same thing. So let's add a new property. We'll call bool, and we'll call it change. So if it's true, we want to change the password. If it's false, we don't want to change the password, and so forth. So I'll update my IntelliSense. And if I hit space here, I get change. Now, it knows it's a boolean value. It knows it's C sharp. There's no reason for at symbols. If I hit control space here, I'm in C sharp, right? So I can actually just do model.hasPassword and I get full IntelliSense. And if I make a mistake, well, I get full IntelliSense for that too. I get red, squigglies. Very easy to use. Okay, our API, this is everything we need to do to fulfill our API. We're not doing anything yet, so if we actually go back here and hit this manage page, we refresh this. And I look at the source, because I'm not going to be able to see anything. It's not doing anything yet. Can everyone see this? Yes, in the back? Good? Thumbs up? Okay, cool. I see manage has password. I'm not doing anything yet. And the change, the attribute, is not there. So what happened? It's purple. Nice way of saying it's bound. What we call a bound attribute is something that is vital for the tag helper to run or to do something. So this is a bound attribute. Bound attributes do not persist to the output. However, something that the tag helper hasn't requested, like foo, in this case it's red, will. So if I refresh this, foo flows through. Okay, next step. The second thing in top-level tag helper development is functionality. What do you do? So we essentially want to output this, right? We need to figure out a few things in order to do that, though. So first off, let's override our what do I do method, our process. And we have two parameters here. We have tag helper context. I'm going to leave that alone for now. And we have tag helper output. Output is essentially, like initially, it's the representation of what you wrote in the source, in the HTML, right? It has attributes, it has content, a lot of other contents, I'll go into them more. Tag mode, tag name. Tag mode's like self-closing, start and end tag, so forth, like how it was written. So first off, tag name. Well, it's currently manage-has-password. Let's change that to A. Now an A tag, so I can very simply go back, refresh the source, and see A, right? we've changed the password, or changed the tag name. Next step, we need to figure out the link content. In this case, it's either gonna be change or create. So based on whether this model.hasPassword is true, it's gonna change that link content. So we'll do link content, and if it's changed, then change. Otherwise, it's set. Pretty simple. And we'll just use our output.content method this time. Set content, and we'll do link content. Pretty simple. Go back here, iterative. We now should see an anchor tag, no href, with change in it, right? Similar to this. All right, the attribute. Well, the only thing different is the action name. So the action name, if it's changing, well, it's change password. Otherwise, it's set password. Now, we need to figure out this link, essentially the href to our anchor tag. And we could do controller name slash action name. And for the purposes of this example, it would work because we know the default route is controller, but this isn't right. So I'm gonna go back here, refresh. This isn't correct because we're assuming we know the routes that are registered. Not a great way to do it. So what we really want is we wanna do whatever this anchor tag helper is doing. And what that guy's doing is he's essentially doing at url.action change password manage, right? It's essentially what he's doing, and he's using the iURL helper to do that. So just like in controllers, as Damien showed, that you can take in things from DI via the constructor, you can do the same thing in tag helpers. So we'll simply add a constructor argument for iURL helper. And we'll save it so we can use it down in our process method. And lastly, field, okay. So instead of doing this shenanigans, we'll now do url helper.action, action name, manage. We're now generating a valid link, and I did controller name here just to show that this changes when I do it correctly. It looks the same. We are 90% there with our functionality. We can make this work though. So if I go back to here, I have these little braces, and if you remember me cycling through the tag helper output, there was a pre-element content, so I can do set content, and I can do this. And there was also a post-element set content. Let's change that back. Okay. So I'm gonna zoom out a little bit. I should expect to see two changes here. And the source should look pretty much the same. So we've now built this utility that anyone who knows HTML can then go ahead and use. And with the assistance from the HTML editor, with as awesome as it is, you can do whatever you want with it, right? So this leads us to our third part of tag helper development. When writing a tag helper, the third piece is usability. How do you use it? And when I say how do you use it, if I am writing the HTML, do I want to write this in tag in this specific example? Maybe. Maybe that's the style I want to fulfill. What happens if I want to write it self-closing, though? Does this work? Quick answer is no. And the reason why, if you remember, the tag helper output is initially the representation of what was written in the source. So we never told it not to be self-closing. So it's still self-closing. So we can fix this. Output.tagMode is equal to tagMode.startAndEnd. And I want to note, we don't do this in our built-in tag helpers. And the reason being is we want you to write your HTML however you want to write it. If you're writing your own tag helpers, you have this option to do this. So it's truly up to you. So this is usability. Next piece. If I hit space here, nothing happens. If I delete change and then hit space, oh, cool, I get it back. Now, how is that different than this anchor tag? I hit space here, I get a load of attributes. I can go ahead and even get JavaScript, really. It's pretty phenomenal what the HTML editor can do. I don't get that. And the reason why is the HTML editor is saying, I have no idea what a manage has password tag is. No clue at all. because it's not until runtime that we decide that it's going to be an A tag, right? So we have a nice way to get around that with the output element hint attribute. Say, don't worry, at runtime, I will be an anchor tag. So if I reopen that file, I should now see it's acting like an anchor tag, where I can do all my anchor tag related things, right? And one of the beauties of tag helpers is, let's say we're going through an updated UI, right? We wanted to change how things looked. And let's say I wanted to just do class, button info. I have not added a single line of code to make this possible. On the server side, at least. But it works. Because it just flows through. It's an HTML element at its core. It just flows through. So it allows you to add these new functionalities to HTML elements that otherwise would do nothing, to then do something and streamline your development process. So three pieces of tag helper development: API, functionality, and usability. Okay, so we've made essentially an environment tag helper equivalent dish type thing. Let's now do something that works more like this anchor tag or the input element, where if I were to write a change, like this isn't a tag helper, right? I could write href here and do whatever. It's still not a tag helper. Purely by the existence of this attribute then makes it a tag helper. So that's not how this guy works, right? This manage test password does not work that way. Let's do something that works just like this. So for this example, I'm going to enable markdown language inside of our HTML. So who here has played around with Stack Overflow markdown or GitHub markdown? Yes, a lot of, love it, it's great. Hold on. Essentially, star is like italicized, two stars, I'll zoom in. Star is italicized, two stars, bold, and there's a whole bunch of other things that you can do with it. So let's make this possible, just for the sake of argument. And let's start with what we're familiar with. Let's make a tag just like this manage has password to start. So what we essentially want to do is we want to have some sort of markdown tag, which says hello world, right? Now this isn't going to do anything right now. It's going to output a markdown tag. Let's find this guy. Where are you? Did I refresh it? There it is. Hello and world. It's not doing anything because we don't have a tag helper associated with it, and the tag helper wouldn't have been doing anything because we haven't written that yet. So let's make a tag helper that targets markdown. And let's delete this just to limit the noise here. Okay. So add new class. And I do want to point out that if you add a new class, I'm using beta 8 bits right now, and you do razor tag helper, you'll see this. It adds an invalid, it's a bad template right now, currently, and I can show you how to fix that. So markdown tag helper, it adds all these things, and there's this new element here, target element. This doesn't exist anymore. I'll go over to that in a second. I'll show you what it's supposed to be. So markdown tag helper. We now have a tag that is targeting markdown. So this should now light up, great. Let's fill out the API. So what is the API for this? At the moment, it's just a tag. It's all we need. We don't need any additional information. The only difference being is that instead of taking in the value from the attribute, we want to take in the value from the content of the HTML. So Dan said that Razor executes asynchronously, which then means if we want to retrieve this value and execute it, we need to also do that asynchronously. So I'm going to override the asynchronous version of process async. And this time, I'm going to use this tag helper context. One of the methods on it is, and it allows you to get the child content. So I'll do await context get child content async. This will be moving to tag helper output in RC1. FYI. Context.getChildContentAsync. This is saying, whatever my body is, executed immediately. And to show this is actually executing, I will, at datetime.now. in between this, right? It's executing that. This could potentially be an await statement in here. It could be anything. It's just Razor. And if I go over here and I refresh, it's not going to do anything because we're not telling it to do anything yet. I see it's executing. So next step, we need to transform this content with regular expressions or a package or something to then become HTML for the markup, for the markdown. I'm not going to write all this, all those regular expressions on stage. I looked around and I found a package which is actually called Markdown Sharp. And it supports a lot of what the Stack Overflow Markdown does. It's pretty awesome, actually. There is one drawback, though, is it doesn't support CoreCLR. So just for the purposes of this, I'm going to delete it for now. So I'm no longer cross-compiling for CoreCLR. It's just DNX 451. Okay, so let's then use this. I'll do private static read-only markdown. And I'll save an instance of my markdown parser. They made this really easy, the creator of this package, which I should give credit to who made this. Let's see. Those guys are awesome. It's great. Okay. So transformed content is equal to markdown parser dot transform. All it's doing is taking in a string and then creating the HTML equivalent. And all I have to do then is do output.content. .setContent, just like we were doing with the manage hasPassword tag helper, but this time I'm replacing what was already there. I'm just replacing it. I've inspected it, I've retrieved it, I'm replacing it. And this will be transformed content. Now, this isn't going to work right away, and I'll show you why. Well, it's going to work, but it's not going to be what we expect it to be. And the reason why is because when we ran that transform content, what it's doing is it's essentially creating anchor tags. It's creating, let's see. Dependencies are modified, great. All right, let's try this again. I'm going to close and reopen this guy just temporarily because it's going to nuke IIS for me. Let's give this a shot. Error list. Did I make any issues here? It could also be that the internet. What was that?
Leads to project trace log file.
Yeah, that is. That is. See, that would be a step, but I think this is going to work this time. Everything. That's my goal here, to break everything, show all the bugs. Yay, it works. Cool. So let's go back here to our manage page. And it's not going to work as we expect. We're seeing these tags in line, and the reason why is we just set the content as a string. In MVC5, you would always, like this is just a string, right? We do new HTML string, essentially, and say, it's encoded, trust me, don't touch it anymore, it's fine. So we have a nice little method for this called setContentEncoded. There's also append encoded here, too, and this method name will be changing to set HTML content and append HTML. So if we do this, we're now saying, don't transform these into and less thans, leave them as tags so they actually render. So we now have italics and bold. We've now enabled markdown in our HTML file with how many lines? Let's see. One, two, three, four, like pure lines here. That's pretty powerful. That's really strong. So we have our markdown tag, and this is functioning pretty much just like this is. It's not what we want, though. What would happen if we wanted to take this link and maybe apply it to this p tag? So have some sort of criteria to say, run on this p tag. If I refresh this right now, it's going to just show it here, just to showcase it. It'd be nice to have some sort of markdown attribute, though. A lot like the ASP-controller says an anchor tag is a tag helper, we'd want to say a p tag having a markdown attribute defines it as being a tag helper, and to then run on that tag. So we can do this with HTML target element. When I first created this template, it had target element there. It's been renamed to HTML target element. That's that disconnect. So this also allows you to override things like, and the manage has password tag helper, you can override that default convention with this attribute. So I'm now saying, run on every ptag, and I can then say, every ptag that has a markdown attribute. This is exactly how the label and input tag helpers and all the other built-in tag helpers work. So if I go back here and I rerun this, I'm now seeing that my markdown tag is no longer a tag helper because I changed the criteria. I overrode the convention. And I haven't added the markdown tag. So I'm going to close and reopen this just to show. So that's no longer tag helper. The p tag is not a tag helper, but I now have this markdown attribute to it. So I can add markdown, and if I refresh this now, it then runs. It's now considered a tag helper. So what would happen if I wanted to do it here or here, right? Multiple different scenarios. We can do this by adding another attribute. And so now I can say, if I encountered the markdown tag or I encounter these guys, then run. That's my new criteria. So think of multiple attributes as ors, like logical ors, and a single attribute as ands. Anything within the same attribute, in this case, p and markdown, is markdown. I could also change this, by the way, to just be attributes, markdown. So wherever the markdown attribute exists, doesn't matter the tag, run. So that would also work. So if I were to close and reopen this, I can then instantly get like markdown support here. Right? Well, it's already bold. Ah, bummer. But anyways, so I have that ability. It allows you to scope. So we've now made an input or label-like tag helper that runs based on the existence of an attribute. So I'm going to put that back to that. Okay. So another type of tag helper. I'm going to reveal something early. All right. So everyone knows about tilde slash. We see it all over the place. Tilde slash lib slash whatever. Right? It's all over the place. In MVC 5, Razor used to look through your pages and say, oh my god, it starts with tilde slash. Replace it. It didn't care if it was on a class attribute or a style attribute. It just saw tilde slash and it went wild. This worked probably 99.9% of the time. But you've gotten to some really, really rough scenarios where it broke people unexpectedly and they had no idea what was going on. So this has changed. These tilde slashes are now handled by a tag helper. So we consider a tag helper like this to be modifying, like it's essentially, it looks over your application and it changes something to then improve it, right? It's something that runs on any tag. In this case, it's any link, any script, any image, any anchor, and so forth. Any of those tags, that is its criteria. So let's write a really quick tag helper that will change the pictures on the front page. So let's say we were a website that had all of our pictures being served from a CDN. And during development time, we wanted to have full control over those pictures, but once we pushed to production, we wanted to have them be replaced with CDNs, right? CDN versions. So let's make a tag helper that does this. So if I go over to the home page, I can see a whole bunch of the image tags. None of them are tag helpers yet. And let's add an image tag helper. So we'll do image tag helper. And what this is going to be is just like our markdown tag helper, it's going to run on an image element that happens to have a source tag to it. So I'll do HTML target element, image attributes is equal to source. So any image tag that has the source element. Meaning, if I go over here and I reopen it, I should expect to see that one image tag being purple now, it's tag helper. Second, that's not, right? That is not. Okay, next step. Override the what do I do method. So we need to figure out what the current source is. And we still want it to flow to the output, so we're not going to bind it. We want it just to sit there. So we'll do source attribute, and we'll just do output attributes, and we'll look it up. This is a POCO object, essentially. It has a few things on it. It has whether it was minimized, what the name is, what the value is, and so forth. It's pretty flexible. And we can use the source is equal to the source attribute dot value dot toString. So we now have the source. So we need to do something here, which is essentially look up the source to see if there's a CDN. So do string CDN source. And I could make a database for this. I've just added a little snippet here. Essentially just a dictionary. Super hackery, but for now, for demo, this suffices. And we'll do image CDN lookup dot try get value. We're looking up the current value of the source, and we're outputting the CDN source value. So if I actually, I'll reopen this up. We have links of what we know images exist. Here's all the images that we know exist, and their CDN counterpart. I just went and took random images, by the way, for this. They are not the CDN equivalent, just to showcase that it's different. And I'm also just doing this during development time. I'm not making that differentiation between production and development, just for the sake of time and to make it so it's easy to showcase. Okay, so we now have our CDN source, and we'll do output attributes. Actually, we already have it. Source attribute.value is equal to CDN source, right? If I go back here and I refresh this, I would expect all these images to change. Halo 5 is awesome, by the way. It's great. And more importantly, my baby's on the way. So we'll see. But we changed it, and we didn't add any code, right? We didn't add any attributes. We didn't touch the HTML. All we did was say, run on every image tag in the page and optimize it for me. So this is another class of tag helper that can say, I want to optimize your site, or I want to do something. And you don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it for you. So to finish this off, we need to cover one last thing, the usability. Usability is mostly there. One issue being this image tag, there's no reason for us to know that it's a tag helper. Like, it has no value, because I haven't added anything. So if you want to say during development, do not add any tag helper IntelliSense, you can do this via editor browsable and do editor browsable state.never. So by doing this, if I close and reopen that file, I can then see that this is no longer highlighted as a tag helper. However, if I refresh this, I still have all my CDNs and all the updated images here. So it's a nice little way how to have an inspecting tag helper. And to finish everything off, I did say that this tilde slash was a tag helper. So food for thought, this currently has two tag helpers running on it. This is a difference between tag helpers and old in web forms where you had HTML equivalents. Two tag helpers are running over the same element. One is taking care of this tilde slash, and one is changing the URL. I could add a third if I wanted to. Tag helpers can be additive. And there's a few other properties on tag helper context.items, or sorry, tag helper context that allow you to then control how things get passed around between tag helpers if they're parent and child, or just among other tag helpers that are running on the same element. So if you're interested in that, feel free to talk to me afterwards. Hackathon day, I'm sure I will be talking with a lot of people. But that's all I had. Thank you, guys.